Christ, the young man who accepted Christ, Aaron, that's not here tonight. It was the neatest deal, a transformation that can only be described as God did this. And Tuesday, he was like, I'm bored, will you send me home? I'm ready to go home. Call my mom, she can come and get me, I'm ready to go. By Friday, Aaron was griping that he wasn't old enough to go on a mission trip that the BGCO was sponsoring to Germany next year. So the guy went from wanting to go home to, they won't let me go to Germany on a mission trip. So we were excited to see what God did in his life and others this week. So we're going to take just a few minutes this evening, and we're going to let a few of them share. Some of our sponsors are going to even share with you. And then I'm just going to kind of close us tonight with some things for the kids, especially now that they're home from camp. Where do we go from here? But it's good, I think, for any of us who had an encounter with the Lord. What do we do next to keep that going? Before they get started, let me say a couple of thank yous. First of all, to our cooks, Kathy Presley, Brenda Hembry, and Anita Charlson all went with us to cook. And so we are eternally grateful. They did a great job. We ate well. And part of that was because of what all you donated and helped keep our costs way down by bringing food. And we also thank their families for letting them go and be with us for a week. Some of our adult sponsors, Kara Polk and Abby Welk and I, we were down there the entire time. Adam and Lisa Wilmoth came and they kind of split time. Lisa came for the first couple days and then Adam finished out the week. And then Jason and Catherine Colvin came down for a little bit, as well as we had some of our other youth workers, the Brittany Harris and Jane Jennifer Hudson came down to see us for an evening. We also want to especially thank some of our parents who came down on Parents Night. On Thursday night, we invited all the parents to come down. First time we've been to camp close enough to have them come and see what we did. And some of them were even able to go to service with us. And it's a neat deal to see. You know, you hear about camp, you hear about Falls Creek. It's neat to see what exactly happens. What goes on there? What does the cabin look like? Is it as bad as they say? And in some cases, no, it's much worse than they say. And so we really appreciate that. And then Carrie Hembry and Gene Peebler and Eddie Charlson were really helping us get our stuff down there and get home. So we appreciate all the help. Camp can't be done by just us. We need a lot of help. And so we appreciate you very much for supporting us, for giving food, for giving money, and for being very supportive and praying while we're gone. I've asked Brenda Hembry. She's going to come and lead us off. You're going to hear from her and then a few other people. And so they're going to be brief, just kind of give you some highlights of the week, and then we'll finish up. But again, we thank you for coming and being here for our night.
Well, like Ryan said, most of the time I was in the kitchen, but I did get to go to Tabernacle in the evening and get to sit with them in devotional at night. And Ryan, as always, does a great job teaching the kids. He's definitely, that's his spiritual gift. And so that's basically what I'm going to share with you tonight, is something that he shared with them and what I learned from that, what he challenged them and me as well. One of the things he did is he had a deal that he talked to them about four areas, about commitment, attitude, misconceptions, and priorities. And I hope all the kids caught that spells camp. But I actually did, even though my brain was fuzzy from cooking. But he just challenged us every night with one of those things after he'd introduced it, and to really analyze where we were in those areas and the misconceptions that we had about God. And God really showed me, and which he's talked to me about this before, but one of my misconceptions is that how big he is that even though I know all my life I've been told that God's a big God, he's amazing, he's everywhere, he can do anything, I don't always live that out. And one of the verses that Ryan shared was Acts 4:13, and it says, "Now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus." A lot of times my misconception about God and how big he is that I feel like that I limit God because of my failures and my weaknesses and my limitations. I'm afraid that I'm going to keep God from doing what he wants to do. And I shared with Ryan one night that, or one morning I think, that one time that I was talking with God about that, and his response was to me was, "Well, Brenda, don't you think that I knew that was going to happen? I put that in the plan. You know, I knew you were going to respond this way, that you were going to react this way, and I've got that covered. I'm bigger than your limitations." And this passage talks about, really, it was the weaknesses of John and Peter, that they were uneducated and untrained men, that caused the people to marvel. And so I guess my word is don't, and my challenge is to the youth is don't look at your failures and your weaknesses to limit God, because God cannot be limited by anything.
Well, for those of you who don't know me, I'm Katina Hembry, and I'll be a junior this next fall. And we really had a great week, and we learned a lot. But the specific thing I want to share with you is one night we looked at John 21:15 through 19, and this is where Jesus was talking to Peter, and asked him 3 times if he loved him. And the first 2 times Jesus asked him, he was asking him in the agape love, which is, you know, God's perfect love. And but Peter answered both the first 2 times in phileo. And so then the last time, Jesus asked him in phileo. And, Jesus wasn't lowering the standard, but he was just meeting Peter where he was. And I just saw, that is so where I am. And, I love God, just because he's my Father and he saved me. But, I don't love God passionately and desperately, to put him at the very top of my life every day. And so, after that, he told him, someone will take you where you don't want to go. And after that, he just said, follow me. And that was, his only instruction to him. So God just, pounded that into my heart, All you need to do is just daily take up your cross and follow me. And then I will just take you down my path, and it'll be, my perfect road for you. And I just want to thank you so much for praying for us, and for giving and donating food and stuff. And I just want to ask y'all to continue to pray for us, that this road isn't over. We are not done learning, and we still need your prayers. So thank you.
I'm Kara Polk, and I'm Ryan's wife, and I had the privilege of going this week as a sponsor. And I didn't get to go to a lot of the devotion time because of Cooper, but one of the things I mainly learned was what an awesome group that we have. I don't know if you know about Falls Creek, but they have 5,000 kids a week. And so the whole time, I'm worried about other people's kids because, you just never know what they're going to do with 5,000 kids. And I never once had to worry about this group of kids. They are an awesome group, and they are ready to learn about God, and they're ready to seek God. It was great getting to know some of the girls and really getting to see their hearts. And I just think that you guys would have been very proud that they were representing you because they did an awesome job. Another thing, it was really neat to see how excited they all got when we had these 3 salvations. They were all different nights, and so we got to get excited 3 nights. And it was just fun because they were clapping, giving high fives. It was a really joyful time for everybody. And so it was fun to see how important they knew that was. And I think they also got excited about our call to share the gospel. And so I think this was a great time, since we are going to Mexico in a month, to really get their hearts on fire and ready to go. There's just no way you can describe how you feel when that happens and when someone decides to follow Christ. And so I just hope that we get to see that some more through this group. And as I finish today, I was just reminded of 1 Peter 2:9. And it says, "But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light." And so I just want you guys to remember that. And I'd like you guys to really pray for these, because they are our next generation. This is our future generation. And what they're stepping into is a battlefield. It's a spiritual battlefield. And so I just hope that you guys will be praying for them, that they'll be bold, and that they'll keep this excitement for sharing the praises of the Lord so that others might come to know him.
Hi, I'm Kathy Presley, and this was a first for me to get to go with the youth. Randy's gone when the boys were younger, and now Mariah's of that age, and it's my turn. When we first got to camp on Monday afternoon, I went to Ryan and said, "Ryan, where do we hide the toilet paper?" He looked at me like, "What do you mean hide the toilet paper? I've never been with a group of kids you didn't have to hide the toilet paper from. They would mummify the rooms and do all this sort of thing." And he was right. We didn't have to hide the toilet paper. They were awesome kids. No. No, they were great kids. They really were, and it was a real blessing to get to be there. As Ryan shared, we did get to go, Brenda and I, and when Anita came down, we poked our heads out of the cabin along about 7:30-ish at night and felt like little moles, Anita said, in there all day. But the tabernacle time, or now it's called the amphitheater time, was really a blessing. And then after that, Ryan would share with the kids in devotion time. And one night, as he was sharing about the story in Luke 10, where Martha, and God has spoken to me through that story other times, but Ryan was sharing about that Jesus answered Martha when she was being a busybody and she was trying to tell Jesus how to deal with other people. Hey, take care of my sister here. Jesus answered, Martha, one thing is necessary. And that phrase just stuck in my heart and my mind. And I've meditated on that. And I'm grateful that Ryan shared that with the kids. One thing is necessary. And while I have a long to-do list, there's really only one thing that matters if I accomplish it. And I want my life to count for the Lord. And I want my relationship with Him to be fresh and real. And so that was a very special time for me. And you know, as I looked over the whole week, it was just a great week with great kids. I was very blessed to get to be there with these kids, and we had a fun time. And I thought to myself at one point in the week, if no one is even saved, this has been a good week. But then God did far more than we expected, and really challenged my faith and allowed three of these kids to come to know Him. And I felt like that was just more than the icing on the cake, that three kids would commit their lives to Christ, and all of eternity was changed this week for three of those kids, and who knows for who else in the group. Decisions were made that will really affect all eternity. So I'm grateful to have been a part of that, and in just a small way. Thank you.
If you've got your Bibles with you tonight, I'm just going to share for just a few minutes out of Hebrews chapter 12. And Kathy did speak too early. I did walk into the boys' dorm one night, and Chad Hughes and Keith Kerr had found the toilet paper, and a willing participant. So, but not too bad. And like they said, as you're finding the passage, and this is an incredible group, and what a blessing it is to get to go to camp and be able to focus on God. And not have to worry about, am I going to have to send someone home? Am I going to have to call parents? Am I going to have to break up anything that's going on? And just let us worry about doing business with the Lord. And so what a privilege that is. And a while ago when I was thanking people, I just remembered that I did leave a couple people out. Larry and Nietzsche Toothaker did go down on Monday and help take food and get our cabin ready, as did Randy Presley. So, like I said, this was really a huge effort. What I want to share for just the next few minutes with you is just this idea of, we always hear about the camp high. And whether it's a retreat or a spring break trip or summer camp, we come back and they've met with God, and then inevitably our expectation is not, boy, I can't wait to sustain this. It's how long until it drops. How long until it goes away. How long until, you know, we're right back in the same situations that we were in prior to leaving for camp. And in Hebrews 12:1-2, I just want to share five quick things with you. And this is, like I said, this is geared towards our students and helping them come back from camp. But I think that these are true principles. Anytime that we have an encounter with God, whether it's in our morning quiet time, or whether it's a church service, or whether it's something, a big event like a camp or a retreat. And one of the things that I did challenge the students with this week is, what is your attitude, or what is your expectation when you come before God? Do you expect to meet with Him? Or is it just going to happen and you have no expectations? And I think that one of the things that we need to really develop in our lives, our spiritual lives, is this idea that when we come into this building, when we go into our private times with God, that we expect something to happen because He is big and He is great and He wants us to be conformed to His image. And not just to learn facts about Him, but to become like Him. So I'm going to read these verses. I'm going to share these five things with you real quickly, and then we'll be finished for the night. In Hebrews 12, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily entangles us, and run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that lay before him endured a cross and despised the shame, and he has sat down at the right hand of God's throne. Coming into this passage, this is following the great passage on faith in Hebrews 11, where the first half deals with people that are named, and the second half are just "and others," who demonstrated great faith at great cost. And it leads right into this, and I think that we can pull five principles out of this passage that help us on how do we be very proactive and not losing our fire, not losing the spiritual hunger, not losing this zeal that we got from these encounters with God. And let me give you number one. The first one is that we need to follow good examples. Hebrews 11 is the examples. Look at what all these people did. And then as the writer of Hebrews goes right into this, he says, "And since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, now let us pursue." Following good examples gives us faith because we know that people have gone before us that have done it. It gives us great encouragement because we know that they're like us. They have struggles and they have weaknesses and they struggle with sin, and they still are being used of God. I need those reminders. I shared with the kids, you know, I love reading biographies, and I love reading about these great Christians because several things begin to stand out. Number one is they made a lot of mistakes. I'm encouraged by their mistakes to know that God was able to use, and he wanted to use people who are going to mess up and make mistakes and aren't going to be perfect, and they're going to have times where their faith is really tested, and God still says, "I want to use you, and I still can use you." So we need to follow good example. Guys, I just encourage you that we need to find some good spiritual heroes in our lives. And I think more often than not, while we'll have those that we read about in books and, of course, through God's Word, I think far more that most of our spiritual heroes are going to fall in that category of "and others" that come out of Hebrews 11. Just people that we know. Maybe it's youth workers. Maybe it's a Sunday school teacher. Maybe it's just someone in the church. Maybe it's a parent. Someone whose faith is real, it's daily, it's obvious, and it can be followed. We need spiritual heroes. But the second principle that the author of Hebrews gives us is that we need to lay aside these things and the distractions that either cause us to sin or that are sin. Look what he says. He says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily entangles us." I love that word "entangle" because that is exactly what sin does. It starts off very small, and pretty soon, the next thing you know, it's all wrapped up in our lives. We're trying to remember who we've told what to. We're trying to remember, you know, how to get out of this. And we're always having to, it's so much extra work to live in sin for such a short amount, like Moses said, for the fleeting pleasures, it's so much more work. But the difficult thing is to break that mindset and to learn that we can rise above that. The writer of Hebrews seems to give us the indication that with Christ's help, we can lay aside. We are not in bondage, and that's what Romans tells us. We're no longer slaves to sin. So we do have the ability to lay these things aside. And one of the things that I challenged our kids with at camp was, we are going to be constantly bombarded with distractions. It's no wonder we have a great week at camp. If you saw our schedule, here's what we do. We get up about 8:45. They eat breakfast, then they go have a quiet time. They leave from their quiet time to go to the amphitheater for a church service. They come back, they have a small break, and then we have our in-cabin Bible study. So they've met the Lord three times before noon. They have free time, and then they go for another church service, and we come back for our evening devotion time in our cabin. There's no TVs. We ask for no cell phones. They don't bring video games and all that stuff. And you start thinking, man, five times a day for 5 days. You think they can hear from God once, maybe? I mean, God is going to speak sometime during that week. But when they get back here, I know that this was true in my own life. I had to get home, and what a blessing it is to get to mow your lawn after you've been at Falls Creek for 5 days. I got home, mowed my lawn, and then I went straight to my chair and turned the TV on. And I didn't realize, just sitting there thinking, this was such a habit. There wasn't. I remember telling Kara as we were eating lunch, man, there's not one good thing on. And instead of turning it off, I just kept trying to find something good. Here I had a great week at camp, and the first thing I did was come back to one of those distractions that I know on a regular basis keeps me from my time with the Lord. We need to lay aside those distractions. We have the ability to do so to follow Christ. The third thing that he encouraged us to do is that we need to run the race. He says, run with endurance the race that lies before us. A couple things that I saw in this little phrase. And they told us at camp this. It was a great deal. Our camp pastor was phenomenal this week. And he just challenged us with the idea that Christianity has, for way too many of us, become a spectator sport. We enjoy getting to watch other people live the faith. We enjoy getting to live others tell us about what's happening in their life. We have learned to become vicarious Christians, meeting with God through different people. Whether it's Ronnie or whether it's your Sunday school teacher, we let other people walk with the Lord for us. And we just kind of watch from the sidelines. We're excited about what God's doing in the Sudan and in the Middle East and in all these places. We're excited to see what He's doing in other people's lives. But we don't have the stories because we're not in the game. We're not in the race. And later or earlier in the Bible, Paul's going to use the same image to run the race. And he's going to add another little caveat, but you run to win. And we need to run to win. We're not just kind of blindly participating. There's a race to be won. And I think of all the imagery that the Bible uses between war and battle and working and athletics with the mindset of it's hard work and there's a goal to be accomplished. We need to run the race and not just run it, but we need to run it with endurance. Guys, let me just say, I think that the major contributor to the unfulfilled Christian life is the spectating of Christianity. It makes us bored. It makes us apathetic. And it allows other passions and other distractions to become pretty important in our life. You don't see people, you know, soldiers or all these images that are used in war and the rest of the Bible. They're not preoccupied with the things of this world. That's what 2 Timothy tells us. You cannot afford to when you're laying it down every day. And as Christians, we have such a high calling. If we have any kind of thing that we can rest on, it is that our calling is high. Our mandate is clear, and God wants us busy. Not busy just doing stuff, but busy for the kingdom. And we can't do that on the sidelines. Well, let me give you the fourth one. So we run, we follow good examples. We lay aside the distractions and the hindrances. We run the race. And the fourth thing I think He tells us to do here is He tells us to have a focus. And He says that we keep our eyes on Jesus, the source and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that lay before Him endured the cross. We need to have a focus. It was really cool. If you haven't been to Falls Creek in a while, the tabernacle is gone. And they've built an impressive amphitheater. And it's up on a hill. And you can, if you're sitting on one side of this amphitheater and you look out, you can just see all across the mountains and this beautiful scenery. And in the distance, there's a big white cross. And it's really a cool deal. And the first night that I saw that, we were just sitting there. And I was thinking, you know, God just kind of was telling me some things through that. And I looked at it and I was like, you know, right in front of me is this guy speaking and he's teaching the Bible. And over here, and that's where my focus should be. And then over here in the distance is where I see the cross. And I thought, you know, that's an interesting parallel for a lot of Christians. They've got something right in front of them that's their focus. And over here in the distance is the cross. It hasn't left them, but their focus isn't on the cross and where it needs to be on a regular basis. And as the week went on, that just kind of kept sticking in my mind until we got to Friday night, which, as you know, camp night, it's the great tension because it's the last night and the urgency has kicked in. But it's also the last night the young people are going to be away from home. And they've got all kinds of things planned for Friday night when they get back to the dorm. They've got all kinds of things planned and going on. Plus, they're tired because they've been up all night doing all kinds of things that I can't tell you all about. But you would be entertained, I promise. And I was thinking, and Jackie Allen was our camp pastor, and he preached on hell. And it was he did a great job and handled it very well. And I was thinking, the same image came through. We were in basically the same seats, and as you looked over, you could see that cross again. And the reminder, the thing that God gave me that was, that even when things are not going well, and He's painting this picture of hell that was very real, and I think it gave our students a great picture, but even in the midst of that message, where hell was what was being talked about, and it was where He was letting a lot of people know that their eternity was going to be. Over in the distance, the cross hadn't gone away. Guys, we need a focus. We keep our eyes on Jesus. He's never going to move. He's the beginning, the end, the perfecter, the completer, the author of our faith, as Hebrews says. And we need to follow Him. Most of our problems come when our focus goes from Him to us. And that's way too small of a thing to have our focus on. Our focus needs to be on Christ. But there's one more thing. The fifth principle, I think, if we want to keep this spiritual passion, is that we need to learn how to seek a greater joy, to live with eternity in mind. He said that Jesus endured the cross, and He despised the shame for the joy that was set before Him. There's a greater joy out there that we can have. In Jeremiah 2:13, God chastised the people because they had forsaken Him to build things for themselves. They had sought immediate pleasure and left the fountain of living waters. There wasn't one thing, as I've told our students before, there wasn't one thing pleasant. There wasn't one thing enjoyable. It was the most terrible thing imaginable for Christ to go to the cross. But there was a joy that said it's worth it. There's a joy that says you need to do it. And there's a joy that will last a lot longer than our momentary afflictions, like Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians. That's a hard thing to do, to teach teenagers and myself, probably all of us, how to live with eternity in mind. And yet, if we don't develop that mindset, there's a lot of the Bible that doesn't make sense. We had a great week at camp. And like I think it was Katina said, we need you to continue praying for us. This is I don't do a very good job of probably letting enough people know how great of a group this is and what they're doing for Christ and what God's doing in their lives. But I think if they stay faithful, God is going to use some kids in our group to do some amazing things. Their hunger and their thirst for God is impressive. Their seriousness about the faith is good. And God blessed that this week. And we had a great time. You be praying these five principles for our group. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you so much for what you've done. We give you all the glory. We thank you for the blessings and the privilege we have to spend a week away, to get a week away, to focus entirely on you. And God, we thank you for the decisions that were made, but we also pray, God, that you would be working in their lives even still, that you would be doing some things and following up on the things that they've heard. God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for all the promises that you give us. And we thank you that you are worthy for us to lay down everything, for you to be our focus, and to seek a greater joy. Lord, we ask you to bless these students as they go and they start again tomorrow. And God, and all of us, and when we encounter you, that our goal would be to keep a spiritual passion in our lives. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.